All right, let's turn in our Bibles to the third chapter of Acts. I'll begin reading with verse 1 of Acts chapter 3. This message, as I prepared it today, meant a great deal to me. I've on many occasions, in many messages, referred to the phrase, the name of the Lord. But in tonight's message, I want to, for a little while, look very carefully at that phrase and see if we can find out what it means. The name of the Lord. The name of the Lord. In Acts chapter 3, verse 1, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being about the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for a handout, asked for alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon the lame man with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name." This is what caught my attention again today. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking, leaping, praising God. I know most of the attention of most of the faith healers and preachers and charismatics and Pentecostals is on this fact that God healed this man physically. God healed him of his lameness and made him to walk. Oh, the miracle of it, the joy of it, and Jesus is the same today, and what he did then he can do now, etc., etc. I've never had any doubt about that anywhere, do you? But in this whole thing, I see not so much the cure as the cause of the cure. I see not so much the miracle as that which produced the miracle. And here are two common, ordinary men like myself. And they looked at a man lame from his mother's womb. And they spoke some words. And in these words was the power that gave life. And they said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And he did. Now look at verse 12. Of course, the people were excited and amazed and astonished and tried to make more out of it than it was as far as Peter was concerned. And it embarrassed Peter. And when Peter saw the tumult, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this?" That's what I'd like to know. Why marvel ye at this? God who made the legs can make them walk. God who made the ears can make them hear. God who made the eyes can make them see. I don't see any unusual or great miracle about God making a blind man see. But I can see an amazing, astonishing miracle in God making a rebel into a son. Now that's a whole new ball game. Making an eye to see that's been blind does not involve God's character. Making a deaf ear hear does not involve God's character, holiness, or righteousness whatsoever, because he's still going to put it in hell. Matter whether it's blind or whether it can see. It doesn't matter whether you're a walker or a cripple.
You're going to hell anyway because of sin. But for the Almighty God, in a marvelous miracle, to take away your sin, take away your sin, and make you, as he said a while ago, in the image of Christ, now that's another ball game. That requires God doing something not only for you, but for himself. That's right.
And that's why Peter said, why are you amazed at this? Why are you amazed at this? For God to, whether a sick man's made whole or whether he's left to die, he's still going to die either way. But for God to take away a man's sins, remit his sins in a way consistent with his holiness, and take him to glory forever, now that's a miracle. I marvel at that. I marvel at that. So he said, why marvel you at this? Why you look so earnestly on us as though by our power or our holiness we made this man to walk? We didn't have anything to do with it. We laud preachers and exalt preachers, and all these charismatics bow down to their preachers and hold them up on a pedestal and want to reach out and touch them and get their autograph and all this foolishness, when they don't have a thing in the world to do with what God does. No human does. He said, verse 13, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son, Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when Pilate was determined to let him go, but you denied the Holy One and the Just. You desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and you killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead. Whereof we are witnesses, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. There's where it all is. There's the power. There's the source of the miracle. His name. Through faith in his name, by the power of his name. Well, they turned him over to the authorities in Acts 4. And the authorities in verse 7 of Acts 4. And when they had set them in the midst, the authorities came around, the Pharisees and Sadducees and Sanhedrin. Got around these apostles and set them in the middle of them. And they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he's made whole, be it known unto you all. I like the way Peter preaches, don't you? There's no shifting or compromise. Now, you know, we don't want to cause any trouble. We want to live and let live, you know. And we don't want to cross you fellas. You have your religion, we have our... No, sir. He said, if you want to know how this came about. Verse 10, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone. This Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And then Paul wrote, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, brethren, when I read, and I looked in the concordance, and I could be here this time tomorrow dealing with the scriptures that have reference to the power of an effectual deliverance of his name. But Paul said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, the name, shall be saved. There's power in that name. Let me show you some other scriptures. Turn to Acts 10:43. There's power in that name. He said, a man who calls upon that name shall be saved. The name of the Lord. This power to save. None other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now look at Acts 10:43. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Remission of sins, all sins past, present, and future, all sins of inheritance and ignorance, all sins, word, thought, indeed, all sins, remission, total remission of sins through his name. And then 1 Corinthians 6. Look at this one. This is one that I chose to read out of the hundreds that have reference to his name, but its significance. 1 Corinthians 6:11. Listen. He talked about what we were, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, adulterers, idolaters, and so forth. Verse 11, and such were some of you, 1 Corinthians 6:11. But you're washed. You're washed, purified. You're sanctified, made holy. You're justified, acquitted, not guilty. How? How? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. That's power in that name. Power in that name. To wash me thoroughly, sanctify me, and justify me before God. And John said to believe on that name is to have eternal life. Charlie said to us a moment ago that he was not afraid to die, that he really welcomed God's call because he would go into the presence of God. How can a man stand on the threshold of death, leaving this life with such confidence? In the name of Christ, in the Word of God, in the promises of God. There's power in that name. There's power to save. There's power to forgive sins. There's power to wash, to sanctify, to justify, and to give a man calmness, confidence, and quietness in the face of death. That's power. That's the power of the name. Now, who wears that name? Peter said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, there's only one who wears that name. There's only one. There's none other name under heaven. He has no competitor. He has no rival. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Paul said, who art thou, Lord? I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. God hath given him a name which is above, exalted above exaltation, every name. There's just one wears that name. Just one.
Where do you get that name? This name
of power that he alone wears, where did he get that name? That name that saves and sanctifies, washes and purifies, cleanses and gives confidence. That name that justifies us before God. He wears that name. Where did he get it? Want to find out? There's a twofold answer. Turn to Philippians 2. I'll show you where he got it. I'll show you where he got it. It's a twofold answer. This ought to be preached everywhere. Philippians 2, verse 5 through 11. Where did he get that name? Number one, he earned it. He earned it. He deserves it. He worked for it. That's right. It says in verse 5, Philippians 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he's the only one who ever earned his reward. He's the only man who ever earned his acceptance. He's the only man of whom the Heavenly Father could say, "And please, come home and sit down." He earned it. What did he do to earn it? All right, listen. He made himself of no reputation. He took upon him, secondly, the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. And being found in habit or fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. He learned obedience by the things he suffered, even the death of the cross. And everything he attempted and encountered and endeavored to do, he did it perfectly, so that even the Heavenly Father could find no fault. He earned his seat. He earned it. He's got a name that's above every name. He's got authority because he earned it. He's got the right because he bought it. It's his. But not only that, secondly,
wherefore? Because he earned it. Wherefore? Because he did what God gave him to do. Wherefore? God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Where did he get that name? The Father gave it to him.
The Father said in Isaiah, "I've spoken it, the word's gone out of my mouth, and it won't return. Unto him shall every knee bow." God gave him that name. Ooh, it's all about the name of the Lord and the power of it and the authority of it and the right of it. He earned it. He earned it. "I glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work you gave me to do. Wherefore thou hast given me authority over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me." He earned it. And the Father gave it to him.
Well, what is his name?
What is his name? Well, it's not the name God. That wasn't given to him. He had that name forever and forever. He's always been God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That name wasn't given to him. He didn't earn that name. That's his name, God. He's the everlasting Father. He's wonderful counselor. Well, it's not the name Son of God. He's that by divine nature. They didn't give him that name. Son of God. He's declared to be the Son of God. He's not called the Son of God. He's declared to be the Son of God. Well, it's not the name Jesus. The angel told Joseph to give him that name. He came and he said, "Call his name Jesus." That's the reason I'm a little troubled by all these preachers in their references to the mighty Son of God on a first name familiarity basis, Jesus. Jesus. In the name of Jesus. 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 They never call him Lord. But no man can call him Lord but by the Holy Spirit. You only call him what he is to you. That's right. You call him what he is to you. This name, which is above every name, this name which he earned, this name which the Father hath given him, this name that has the power to do all that he wills to do,
is his redeeming character. That's the name. And it implies
who he is, Emmanuel, God with us. What he did, prophet, priest and king. Why he did it, I'm a just God and a Savior. That's my name. And where he is now, highly exalted. So the name of the Lord, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, implies all of his saving character, all of his redemptive work, all of his suretyship from eternity past to eternity future. That's his name. And it implies all the authority which is behind it. Now listen to an illustration. Charlie Pennington is now with the postal department, but he used to be a policeman. So suppose I'm walking down the street and I hear a voice say, "Stop, I'm Charlie Pennington." Well, there's no, Charlie, with apologies to you, no serious reason for me to stop. Any more than if you said I'm John Doe. But I'm walking down the street and Charlie Pennington says, "Stop, I'm Charlie Pennington, I'm your neighbor." There's still no real reason for me to stop. I can either stop or keep going. It's not really going to make much difference. "Stop, I'm Charlie Pennington, I'm your friend." I've still got no reason to stop. Wait a minute. "Stop, Mr. Mahan, in the name of the law." I stopped dead still. He's still Charlie Pennington, isn't he? Yeah. But he has invoked a name that got my attention. He's invoked a name, for in that name and behind that name is authority over me. Not only authority, but power over me. And not only power over me, but all that's included in the name of the law are the courts and the judges and the government and total control over all things that matter to me and all things that I am. I better stop. Because he's speaking in the name of the law. See what I'm saying? Charles has in his hands, because he's been invested with the authority of the law, power to try me, find me guilty, and take away my freedom. And so when we just use the word Jesus, actually, that's a name common to Jewish people. But when you talk about Jesus Christ, the name of the Lord, whoa now, you done said something now. When you say the name of the Lord, you've spoken of the total authority that Almighty God has given him over heaven, over earth, and over all flesh, and the right and the power to exercise it. In the name of Jesus Christ moves heaven. Because heaven is behind that name. In the name of Jesus Christ makes hell to tremble, because that name has the power to close the gate or to open. He openeth and no man shutteth. He shutteth and no man openeth. Now you're talking different words now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Battles are won in that name. Heaven hears that name. Hell trembles at that name. Sinners are saved in that name. Sins are forgiven in that name. Sinners are washed in that name. His name is the power that sets a man free. His name has power and authority over Satan, over the world, over sin, and over hell, and over heaven. That's what I'm talking about. And when Peter stood there before that lame man and said in the name, he was invoking all the powers of God. The purpose of God. The will of God. The right of God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you rise up and walk. And whatever held him had to let him go. Charlie said, in the name of the law, stop! I'd better stop. And I tell you, whatever power held that man, better let him go. Because the name of Christ is invoked. Oh, you say, if I had that power to heal sick and raise the dead. That's just the reason you ain't got it. Because you won't play with it. We're dealing in greater issues than healing rheumatism. The power's there to raise the dead, the spiritually dead. The power's there to give sight to the blind, the spiritually blind. The power's there to make the deaf to hear, Not you, but him. The power is there to set men free, not from these childish things that we're all fussing about, but from the clutches and the grasp of principalities and powers of hell and the curse of the law and the bondage of sin. Set him free! Do you think when he said, the Spirit of God is upon me and hath anointed me to preach deliverance to the captives, he was talking about somebody behind the iron curtain or the bamboo curtain?
No, sir. People behind the curtain and the curse of the law of God. Hell's curtain. That's right.
You think when he said he came, he anointed me to give sight to the blind, if he's talking about these people that have glaucoma or something like that? No. To make the spiritually blind to see. I'd be plumb blind in these eyes and still see what
99% of the world's never seen. That's the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus.
And I'd rather see forever than see right now. That's what I'm talking about. That's the name. The awesome name of authority. And when I can believe his name and call upon his name and invoke his name, he sets the prisoner free. I tell you, that's what this is talking about. Jehovah Jireh, that's what Abraham said. The Lord will see to it. The Lord will see to it. There's some folks around here that's so dependable. I can say to some of these fellows, like Russell, I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, I said, I won't have the Lord's table on February the 22nd. He said, I'll see to it. I can depend on him. Well, if I can depend on you, think I can depend on him. I'll see to it. Lord, I need forgiveness and mercy and grace. He'll see to it. That's what Abraham was saying, John. The Lord will see to her. He'll provide. And then he's called Jehovah Nissa, the Lord our banner. Old Moses out there holding up his arms while they fought the enemy. And his arms got tired and they fell and the enemy prevailed. And they raised his arms and his troops prevailed. And finally, two of his men got on and held up his arms and they won the battle. And he's called that place Jehovah Nissa, the Lord my banner. He'll win my battles. He'll hold up my arms. The Lord my peace, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord my righteousness, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present, the Lord my shepherd. Ah, let me give you this. Well, wherewith shall we approach the Lord? Bow before his throne. By believing his word and pleading his name alone. This is the name the Father loves. This is the name that I must plead. This is the name that heaven approves and blesses us indeed. Then let his name forever be to me supremely dear. His name, my all-prevailing plea, for all my hope is that. His name, Lord Jesus, suits him well. His name is wonderful indeed. For his name from sin and wrath and curse and law and hell. His name is all I need. All I need. All right, we're going to gather around the table of the Lord who wears that name, who gave himself for us. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. He said, preacher, who's this table for? It's for believers, for those who know his name, those who love his name, those who discern his broken body and shed blood. This is not a church fellowship supper. This is the Lord's table. Not my table. I don't fence the table. He does. And it's fenced by one thing. The Ethiopian eunuch said to Philip, what doth hinder me from being baptized? And Philip hedged in baptism by one question. If you believe, On the Lord Jesus Christ you may. He said, I believe. That's what I say to you. If you believe on Christ and you know His love and you discern His broken body and shed blood, then come to the table. Verse 23, 1 Corinthians 11, I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. And you do this not because you feel worthy, not because you've gone this week without sinning. You do this in remembrance of me. I loved you and gave myself for you. All right.